Welcome on in to the 9 o'clock hour, the fourth and final hour of the program. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you each and every weeknight here, 6 to 10, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A bunch to get into with our next guest as we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in Trevor Lane, our good buddy from Front Office Show and Lakers Nation, host and talent there. Make sure you check out all things NBA with Trevor's coverage. Trevor, want to start, before we get into some Hawks intrigue here locally, today we found out that Rick Grosbeck is not going to be remaining the governor, so to speak, of the Celtics after the sale goes through. It's all about percentages of owning the team and a lot of other boring stuff. But what I want to ask you is, do you think this impacts anything that goes on with the Lakers?
It could. I mean, typically, if you're going to spend billions upon billions of dollars, you're going to want to have that final say. You're going to want to have decision making in that situation. So I'm not surprised that Wick Grosbeck is in the situation that he's in terms of no longer being the governor of the team. For the Lakers situation, though, reportedly it's in the contract, and I haven't seen the actual contract itself, but it's supposed to be in the contract that the Buss family will have the 15% ownership stake that they are required to have in order for Jeannie Buss to remain in that governor role. It's been the number of years that's been thrown out there has been roughly a 5-year period. But again, reportedly that's actually in the purchase contract for the team. So that would certainly change things a bit. But again, I still think that at the end of the day, if you're going to be the majority owner of the team and you're going to spend at a $10 billion valuation, which is what the Lakers were, you're going to want to have that final say. So while Jeannie may end up staying in that role, it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic ultimately unfolds.
Humor me here. I log on to Twitter yesterday, Trevor, and what do I see? A shirtless 40-year-old LeBron James doing deadlifts. Listen, nobody questions his work ethic, his commitment to his body, his ability to stay in ridiculous shape even at his age. Why? I don't understand it, Trevor. Like, we know you're ripped, LeBron. We don't need to see this from you at 40 years old. What do you think his motivation is for stuff like that at this point in his career?
LeBron, in terms of his motivation, he still has a drive to be great. He still has a drive to succeed as a basketball player, to continue to grow, to continue to improve. I'm sure he's trying to, everything LeBron does is very, very calculated. I'm sure he's sending a message that this is something that he's really taking seriously this coming season. He always does, but showing that he's putting in the work right now. Here we are mid-August, we're 6 weeks or so away from training camp, and he's putting in the work to be ready and be prepared for the season. So, you know, this will be a record. This will be the longest NBA career we've ever seen. This will be a version of LeBron James that, while he is going to be turning 41, also was sixth in MVP voting last year, was second team All-NBA, and is still an incredibly productive player. So we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen a player play at his age after this many years and continue to be this productive. So it's remarkable what he's doing. And I'll tell you what, if all this accomplishes, posting himself shirtless and all that and showing the kind of shape he's in, if all that does is get everybody else to get going too, then maybe we'll all benefit from that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if I was in that kind of shape, which I am not even on the same planet as LeBron James in terms of shape, I guess I'd post that too. Before we switch to some Hawk stuff here, Luca front, everything's still the same. Look good, feel good. Just keep his head down now and get ready for the season.
Yeah, Luka is going to be playing with Slovenia in Eurobasket. He already played one game with them, a tune-up game. They do have more. We'll see how many games he's going to play versus rest as they get ready for Eurobasket. But he looks to be in great shape. There's rumors that he's lost, you know, significant weight in terms of an exact number. The number 30 pounds has been bouncing around. I don't know how accurate that is or isn't. We'll have to see, you know, when the season starts. But Luka does look to be in phenomenal shape. He looks significantly slimmed down. I thought what we saw of him so far for Slovenia, he did look quicker. He did look more engaged on the defensive side of the ball. And that was for a brief period that he actually played. And even when he was playing, they kind of hid him off ball for a while so he wouldn't have to do a lot of heavy lifting. So it's not like we have a large sample size, but I think the hope is that we're going to see a very, very motivated, very in shape Luka coming into the season, and that he's going to be out to get some revenge on all the narratives that were out there about him coming out of his departure from Dallas. So it could be in for a big year for Luka Doncic. I'm excited to see what he can do for Slovenia once Eurobasket officially kicks off and they're really playing in competitive games.
Big deal or not a big deal, in your opinion, the reports that have surfaced over the last couple of days that the Hawks and Trae Young are not currently engaging in long-term contract talks, despite reports that Trae Young wants to?
I think it's a big deal. I mean, the team is – I think the Hawks have done a tremendous job building out this roster. I think this team is built about as well as you can to highlight Trae's strengths while mitigating or hiding his weaknesses. I think the army of wings that the Hawks have to deploy, rightfully so, I think are very impressive. I think they're guys that can help out on the defensive side of the ball and help, again, hide Trae there while still being finishers on the offensive end to take advantage of the passing that Trae provides. I like the addition of Kristaps Porzingis, the big man combo with Onyeka Okongwu there. I think Atlanta had a phenomenal, phenomenal summer, and I'm excited to see this team. But that, to me, is why it's surprising that we're not seeing an extension get done here. Now, this is the new NBA under a collective bargaining agreement that we're now a couple of years into, and we're seeing teams, particularly this summer, be much more careful with their long-term salary. Not everybody is just automatically being given a max contract, so maybe there is some element of uncertainty there where the Hawks want to see Trae get onto the floor. They want to see what this team really looks like together before they're going to commit long-term. But there's also the possibility that Trae could, you know, make an all-NBA team and then be eligible for a five-year contract and more money. And what might that potentially look like? So I'm a little bit surprised that this isn't just getting done right now, particularly in the wake of the De'Aaron Fox extension coming in at a full max. But it's not the end of the world either. Trae has the player option next year. He can opt out and then hit free agency. He could potentially leave the Hawks, but the way this team is structured, I think there's a lot of incentive for both sides to keep things together and keep moving forward. And maybe this is just about maintaining flexibility as long as possible, working on a Dyson Daniels extension, perhaps trying to find something there and then moving forward. I'm surprised, but it's not like, I don't think we should be ringing alarm bells at this point either.
Let me ask you this straight up. Who's the better basketball player, in your opinion, De'Aaron Fox or Trae Young?
Trae Young, and that's I like De'Aaron Fox a lot. I think he's the better defensive player, but Trae is a next-level passer. I think he doesn't get enough credit. He very comfortably was the top assist guy in the NBA last season. I would predict him to do it again this season with this roster that he's got around him. Yes, his efficiency was maybe a little bit wanting on the offensive end, but he does tend to bounce back and forth with his three-point shooting percentage. I think he will have a bounce-back year this year, and this team is really structured very well around it. But ultimately, just in terms of which player would I rather have, Trae. Now, you can make the argument that it may be a little bit easier to build around De'Aaron Fox because his defensive acumen, while he's not a stud defensive player, he's also a better defender than Trae Young. Maybe that is a little bit easier to build around, but I do think that Trae, as a top-end talent, is on not a multi-tier jump, but I have Trae one tier up from De'Aaron Fox. So I would give him the nod for sure.
Speaking of comparisons, has your opinion of Quinn Snyder, the coach, changed since he had all that success in Utah and then hasn't been able to put things together here in Atlanta? Or do you think he's a victim of circumstance?
No, it hasn't necessarily changed. I still think that he's a talented coach. Now, if the team comes out and struggles this season with the roster assembled as it is, I mean, you can argue, well, Jalen Johnson was hurt last season. Was your secondary creator out? Was that how many problems did that create? So I'm not ready to be totally out on Quinn Snyder or diminish his quality as a head coach. Sometimes things can just take a rough turn during the course of a season. I think this roster, though, is set up for success. And if he's not successful this season, then maybe it'll be time to have that conversation. But again, the way this roster is structured, I think he's been given all the tools that he could possibly ask for to succeed, and I'm excited to see what he can do with this team this year.
Now that we've had a chance to look back at the draft and a lot of the free agent moves have been put in place, which teams do you think have had the best offseason so far?
Well, Atlanta is certainly one of them. I mean, you've got the Kristaps Porzingis move. You've got winning the Nikhil Alexander-Walker race and beating out a conference rival in the Detroit Pistons. You know, Atlanta, Detroit, Orlando, they're among the teams in the East that are looking around right now after the Celtics have taken a step back, and they're saying, why not us? Why can't we be the team to take that step forward and be the team to be the surprise finalist in the Eastern Conference, similar to what we saw the Indiana Pacers do last year? So I think Atlanta has had one of the best summers in the NBA. I will say Dallas, just by getting Cooper Flagg, they're automatically going to have a strong offseason. But I also thought the addition of D'Angelo Russell was very smart as somebody who can play on ball while Kyrie Irving is out, but also has the flexibility to play off ball when Kyrie does come back. So I thought that was a smart move in addition to landing Cooper Flagg. That obviously moves them forward. Denver, I thought, was phenomenal with their summer. The trade that they made, sending out Michael Porter Jr., bringing back Cam Johnson, I thought that was an inspired move. And then getting Jonas Valanciunas, managing to get Tim Hardaway Jr. and Bruce Brown on veteran minimum deals, that was phenomenal. And then the Houston Rockets, another team, we can't skip them, landing Kevin Durant in trade. I thought he was the exact skill set that they were missing last year in the postseason. I think he'll be a great fit with this team. The moves they made, the flexibility they created with the deal that they signed Fred VanVleet to, I thought the Houston Rockets had a great summer as well. So I would pinpoint those four as, I think, having the strongest summers around the NBA.
All right, Trevor, before I let you go, I'm going to need your sleuth detective hat on here. Why are LeBron and AD posting the same thing on Instagram?
I saw that, and I have no idea. I have a lot of people asking me, what is this all about? And I have not reached out to anybody to dig a little deeper on it. I just kind of rolled my eyes and went, okay, well, I'm not going to worry about it too much because, it's nothing until it's something. The statement they put out was becoming the best version of yourself comes with a lot of goodbyes. That could mean just about anything. I mean, that could very well end up being a business-related thing. We had LeBron had an Amazon commercial earlier this summer where it was presented as though it was something involving his career, and then surprise, it was revealed to just be an Amazon commercial. You know, I'm not going to jump to any conclusions that they're posting something like this at the same time. It could be a clutch sports thing. I know a lot of people want to jump to, oh, this means, you know, LeBron wants to leave the Lakers, or Anthony Davis has got something in the works. I'm not going to assume anything until something is made more clear, but you know, it's a true statement with tons of deniability, which LeBron is absolutely phenomenal at putting out stuff like that and keeping people talking. So, again, I won't jump to any conclusions on what this is or isn't or anything like that.
Yeah, it's fascinating how the athletes of 2025, Trevor, are addicted to social media in a way that leaves us hanging on the thread of their fingertips because – like, again, we're sitting here as sports fans going, what does that mean? Is LeBron trying to go to Dallas? Is AD trying to go back to LA? What's going on here, Trevor? I don't understand. But you're right. At the end of the day, it's most likely nonsense. Appreciate the time as always, right, my friend. We'll be checking you out online, and we'll chat soon.
And no problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. That is Trevor Lane there, front office sports and Lakers Nation. All right. When we get back, we'll ask our local perspective now. We got the national perspective. Now we'll get the local perspective. Is there something going on with Trae Young, or is there not? Caleb Johnson's answer, very different than what Trevor Lane just had to say. So national versus local perspective, and then we'll finish out the hour with more Falcons conversation, of course, with the joint practices continuing tomorrow. Busy 9 o'clock hour to finish up the show next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as the Mets hit another home run.